just swollen.
All right, and we are back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for the week of September 10th, 2007. And we have a returning member in the studio with us today, Mr. Ryan the Wombat Wombold.
What up, folks? Woo-hoo! I've returned.
I have returned.
I am come home.
How does the married life treat you?
Oh, it's treating me very well.
Good,
treating
good.
Me very well. And you thank you, by the way. While I'm on here, I want to thank everybody who posted in the congratulations thread or who posted their congratulations to me. I appreciate it, folks. I really do.
He is now back.
I am back.
And he will be there for the Halo tournament, so you're all in trouble now.
My God.
Also with us today, we have Mr. Jason, the Gambus Khan Gambro.
My name is Gambus Khan, and I'm here to kick ass. Hello, everybody.
Wow.
That was an interesting introduction.
I will say that.
Yeah, I'm just experimenting with voices.
Trying different ones.
He's experimenting with trying to sound like a badass.
And then again, your host is back.
Yeah,
Gomer Pyle.
Nobody give a fuck about you.
Somebody said I sound like Gomer
Pyle.
Yeah, Gomer Pyle.
I laugh so hard.
Well Shazam! Golly! All right. We are here, and we are back for another week, and we got a lot of stuff, so let's kick right into it. We'll start off with what's final on your console, and I'll start with Gambus Khan. Mr. Gambrell, what's been final on your console?
I've been playing a lot of Blue Dragon.
A lot of Blue Dragon still?
Yes.
Are you on the Blue Dragon cock, as it was so eloquently put in our comments last week?
Yes. I've been,
we do read them.
Yes, we do.
We do read the comments. Yeah, you could say that I got a... My mouth is all blue, man. I'll just put you that way. My mouth is all blue.
Wow. I don't even want to discuss that. Well, what else are you playing? Because we spent a lot of time talking about Blue Dragon last week.
Yeah, Blue Dragon.
We don't want to sound biased or anything.
Yeah, you could say that I'm blue in the face. Oh!
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it wasn't. But anyway, I also been playing...
Say you're an Xbox fanboy.
Yeah. Woo. I'm an Xbox fanboy. I'm such an Xbox fanboy that I got time to play Final Fantasy V on the Game Boy Advance. Whoa.
But you're playing on the DS.
Yeah, but it's an advanced game.
But you said you were playing it on the Game Boy Advance. I'm just correcting you.
Snap.
Yes. Oh, snap. Oh, my God.
I'm harsh this week.
Zero.
Yeah, you're coming in, throwing those jabs. What's up? Yeah, I've been playing Final Fantasy V. It's pretty sweet, too, because there's a very similar parallel in the gameplay mechanics between Final Fantasy V and Blue Dragon. And for those of you out there who think Blue Dragon sucks, well, you know, they were trying to create a RPG that was, you know, a traditional-based RPG. They weren't trying to innovate when they created Blue Dragon, so... What they were trying to do was doing a homage to the old-school RPG.
Homage.
Yeah, homage.
Sounds kind of Jewish.
Yeah, homage. And I think they succeeded very well. I would say if I had to give a number score to Blue Dragon, I'd probably give it somewhere between 8.5 and a 9, because I find it very fantastic.
Well, Professor Chaos, his gamer quote, right? He's the one on the review for Blue Dragon. He says it's a 9.
He says it's a 9? Well,
so we will see what his review
is. It deserves a 9. And another game that I purchased and played some of is the Dynasty Warriors Gundam game.
Yeah, I sent you a message the other day on Xbox Live.
Yeah,
said, did you seriously buy that? And you never answered me, like you were embarrassed
like,
about
yes,
it. Like, you can't hide it.
Yes, I was embarrassed.
It's the beauty of Xbox Live. You can't hide what you're playing
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
You
can
be going home playing Barbie Horse Adventures and us not know about it.
I will know.
Oh, my God.
I know about your Dynasty. So what do you think of Dynasty? Because I play the demo, and I like it. I mean, it's Dynasty Warriors, but I can't bring myself to pay $60 for it.
The thing is...
Doesn't have any fog, though.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
There's no fog. As a matter of fact, later in the game, you play in deep space. Yes.
Space fog.
Space fog.
In space, no one can see your fog.
Exactly.
All I want to know is that at some point, one of the guys from the actual Dynasty Warriors game makes a cameo in space with no spacesuit on
and he's
carves
like this
up
big,
a bunch of robots.
He's like a little itty-bitty tiny guy.
That would be awesome. But I think what Professor Chaos said last week is pretty much true. You pretty much got to be a Gundam fan or a Dynasty Warriors fan to really appreciate the game because it's really story-driven. And it's pretty cool because Well, the demo kind of just throws you into the middle of it, and you really have to have some of the narrative go along with the game. It's really cool because there's like lots of parts where you have like mid bosses that come up to you, and it's all voiced over, and it's all like story driven, and it feels like an episode of like the series.
Well, my biggest thing with the demo, and I played the demo, is every level that freaking long? Because I was really tired of wiping out generic Gundam soldiers by the end of that level. I think I was up to like 700 kills in one level.
Oh,
like Dynasty Warriors.
I know, and yeah, that's what I hated Dynasty Warriors for, was it was too freaking long per level.
Yeah, every level is like that, I must say.
I mean, I'll pick it up when it's like $30.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's worth to me. At 60, it's still just a little steep for me for a game like that.
Yeah, it is a little steep. I picked it up because, like, everybody was saying that it was the best Gundam game ever made.
Well, that's not really saying much.
No, exactly, saying much. That isn't, but I'm a Gundam, like, geek, man. I love Gundam
You know, the
Gundam
best
shows.
Gundam game ever made wasn't even officially a Gundam game. It was called Tech Romancer for the Dreamcast. Go Google that shit. That was a great
Tech
freaking
Romancer
game.
Was good. Was I don't even get. I don't even care about Gundam, and it was good.
That's what's Capcom,
right?
I mean, I picked up Tech Romancer. I got that.
It's a great game.
Yeah, I still have it somewhere.
Sega and Capcom, yeah. and Microsoft. If you're listening, Xbox Live Arcade, Dreamcast, baby. Dynamite Cop, Tech Romancer, Rival Schools, bring it all
Dreamcast
back.
Dreamcast was the bomb.
Dreamcast was an extremely exquisite system, if I must say so myself.
But anything else besides the Dynasty Gundam?
Dynasty Gundam, Blue Dragon, Final Fantasy V, and I know there's another game that I played, but I can't really think of it off the top of my head.
Well, if you come back to it, we'll come back around to you, but we'll move on to the newly married man.
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, since the last time I was on the podcast, I really haven't had a whole lot of time. So
been a little busy.
So
yeah, that's understandable.
I have played some more BioShock. I haven't played as much of it as I would have liked. I hope to get to dig into it a little more today, maybe tomorrow. But what I've played of it, it's completely phenomenal. And for my money, has the best opening sequence from the time you crash in the plane to the time you get out of the Bathysphere, best opening sequence of any game I've ever played.
It draws you into that world.
Yeah,
like
it's
ridiculous.
I mean, it's completely phenomenal. So I've been playing that. I've been playing a bunch of demos. Let's see, what all have I played lately? I played the demo for Blazing Angels 2. Better than the first one.
Better than the first one, but the first one was really kind of...
Yeah, the first one was bad.
Yeah.
I played the demo for Medal of Honor, which wasn't bad at all. I mean, it's Medal of Honor.
It's a step forward
for
the
series.
Yeah,
I was about to say it's definitely better than the last couple Medal of Honor games that have come out. It's starting to claw its way up towards Call of Duty in terms of quality.
Which is kind of funny since Call of Duty is now...
Right, well, I was about to say, I should say, clawing its way towards Call of Duty 2 in terms of quality.
Well, yeah.
But... And then I played played a little bit more of the Stranglehold demo, just because I didn't get a chance to play it much when it first launched, and it was very, very good.
I'm good.
My only concern that I've said all along is that it will get old pretty quick, but hopefully I'll be proven wrong. It's actually out now, so
yep.
If I pick it up, hopefully I'll be proven wrong. What else did I play? There was one more demo that I played. What all launched when Medal of Honor...
Time Shift.
I didn't play the Time Shift one yet. I downloaded it, though.
Hockey. Tiger Woods.
Sports game.
You know, I can't
even remember now.
Skate. I mean, there's been a lot of demos floating around out there. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
There's a lot.
But, alas, I can't remember it, so I'll just move on.
Okay.
And forget that ever happened. got a PSP for my birthday, so I picked up MLB The Show for that, and it's great. If you like baseball and you don't have it already, I know it's a little old now, but it's really, really good, and it plays just like the PS2 version. And then I picked up Siphon Filter brand new at Walmart for $10, and it's definitely worth $10.
Oh yeah, that game is awesome.
Really, really good. A lot better than you would have expected a shooter on the PSP to be.
A lot better than you'd expected a Siphon Filter to be after the last couple.
That's true. So I know that's kind of old news now too. But if you haven't picked it up yet,
well, it's actually
cheap,
not
so.
Old news because they're re-releasing it on the PS2 as
really?
A budget title,
I didn't
like kind of like they did with Vice City Stories and stuff. So
they got a new Siphon Filter coming out on PSP too.
Yeah, so, a new one. So.
But seriously, if you haven't picked it up yet, it's really cheap now,
and
it's
really,
really
good.
Really good. So, but back to the PSP for a bit. I was telling you guys before the show started, I really like it. I really do.
It's a great little system.
I'm not a handheld fan. I haven't had a handheld since the Game Gear, but it's really nice. I love all the functionality in it. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it a lot.
It's a nice little system, and I'm really happy to see it doing well, because when we do the NPD numbers every month, it's always up there.
It's always doing pretty well.
It's selling really well.
It's no Nintendo DS, but it caters to a completely different market. So.
And that's nice that we can have two separate markets and it still work. It's kind of like with the next-gen consoles, there's really two markets. You got your hardcore guys playing 360 and PS3, and then you got your casual gamers more playing the Wii. So.
And it breaks down pretty much. I mean, the PSP is more of a tech head's handheld, because it's not really just a game system. It's, you know, MP3 player, video player.
Yeah.
You know,
surf
all that
the internet,
stuff. Right.
Wi-Fi and all that stuff. I mean, it's really cool.
And then the DS caters more to the casual gamer. With, you know, it's just a game machine, which is what, you know, it all boils down to anyway. So.
Exactly. It's good that we can have two markets, and hopefully not too many people fight about the PSP and the DS.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy to me. I'm glad that hasn't erupted into a horrible cataclysm of fanboy. My penis is bigger than yours. Arguments.
Yeah, that would be a little sad, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
So does that pretty much wrap up what you've been playing?
Pretty much wraps up what I've been playing.
Well,
it's a lot longer
on.
Than I expected.
Yes, it is. You're playing a lot more stuff than I figured, but that's good. Moving on, I've been playing Stranglehold for review, and I have to say that I'm really impressed with it so far.
Are you?
I played it on both PS3 and the 360. Really, it just there's really no difference. I mean, if you prefer the 360 controller, you like Rumble and you want achievements, get on the 360. Xbox Live, also nice. If your friends got Xbox Live, you're gonna play with them. PS3 version's a little sharper visually. I mean, and the sound is a little better. At least what I've noticed just playing between the two. And then, of course, you got the hard-boiled movie.
Right.
That comes on it in Blu-ray, which is freaking awesome.
Which might be, you know, worth buying it on PS3.
It really
anyway,
is. I mean, it's only 10 extra bucks for a Blu-ray movie.
But
so.
Then again, you know, as being an achievement whore, you know how big of a pull achievements are.
Achievements are a big pull, and so is Xbox Live. People don't really put that in there, but, like, just being able to play with your friends and all that stuff, and if they're going to get it on that system, then you want to buy it on that system. I say the collector's edition of the 360, it's really not worth it to me.
Right.
Also, you have to look at it. The 360 version's out, whereas the PS3 version, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks.
Right.
So that might be another deciding factor. But I think it's a great game. I think it's going to do really well. I don't think it's going to do what it cost, because it was like $30 million to make that game.
Expensive.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to make that back, but I think it opens up, and it, the developer who did PsyOps, big fan of them, so definitely check it out.
They're due to have a good game that actually does well at market. So here's hoping that Stranglehold turns out to be the one.
I hope it does, because right now, I mean, if you're looking for an action shooting game, there's really not much else that's as good, because it's just mindless. It's just fun.
Right.
It's, you know, don't go into it expecting like a BioShock type, like, serious experience. Just go into it expecting to blow a lot of shit up.
Right.
Jump in slow motion and see some doves.
Right. And if you haven't yet, I mean, you should obviously download the demo if you have a 360. It's not on PlayStation Network yet, is it?
Yeah, it's up.
Is it?
There
okay.
is a demo
there you go.
On PlayStation
download
Network.
Download it if you have PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, because the demo's great, and it'll give you a pretty good indication of what the game's like.
Oh, definitely, because I think the demo's actually the full first level.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big demo. All right, moving on. I've also been playing, I just reviewed Two Worlds, and this is the game everybody wants to hate.
I want so bad. I'm a huge fan of Oblivion, and when they announced Two Worlds and they started talking about it on, you know, IGN, GameSpot, some of the bigger sites, that I just gave you free press. See there? when they started talking about it on there, I was sort of getting geeked for it, because it really seemed like it was going to be, you know, everything Oblivion was and a little more. From what I've seen, it's come up a little short of that. But I still really want to play it because I dig games like that anyway, so I'm hoping that'll give me a chance to offset some of the problems that are with it.
There is a lot of problems, and most of them stem from like the frame rate, and especially and my biggest disappointment is online.
Right.
Because the online on the PC is like a straight MMO. You get on with a bunch of people and you play and you can quest together and do different stuff. But in the Xbox 360 version, you can just do like these, you can pick a map and then just go do quests with your thing. And what agitates me is it doesn't carry over to the single player, nor does the single player carry over to the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So you have two separate characters. Plus on the 360, you have a bunch of these little mini games like Monster Hunt and PvP and stuff. And the way the combat system's set up, it's like Diablo. Could you imagine playing Diablo versus? I mean, it just wouldn't work.
It's like whoever had the biggest, like number of strength and number.
Well,
of
yeah,
stride.
They're gonna win. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Or if you've got somebody who's a magic user and just hits you from a distance constantly, there's not gonna be much.
Yeah,
to
and I mean, it doesn't stuff like that. You know, PvP works. even for RPGs, PvP works in MMORPGs like City of Heroes or World of Warcraft, where certain strengths, you know, balance out weaknesses and so forth, and you can, you know, even if the other guy has a higher strength than you or has something else, you probably have something that you can compete with. Two Worlds doesn't seem to be that in-depth.
No, it's more, it caters more to the Diablo crowd than it does the Oblivion crowd, and I think that's the problem is, being on the 360, its only comparison, its only base of comparison
right.
is Oblivion.
Well, and I mean, graphically it's similar. Well, I shouldn't say graphically, artistically it's
artistically
similar.
Artistically it's
too,
similar,
so.
Yeah. It's the same setting, same kind of fantasy, RPG.
Yeah.
It's a good game. I mean, it's a solid, huge, massive adventure game, and it's really good. And like I said, the online kills it the most because that was my biggest thing about it was,
right.
Okay, I want to play Oblivion online. This is going to be it. And it just wasn't. And not to mention that even in the online that is there, you can't get your achievements. And you know how I feel about that. And it just kind of upsets me because I'm like, you know, I should be able to get my level 5 achievement online. I should
right.
be able to get my ride a horse achievement online, but I can't. I have to do that in single player. And I actually bought the game to play it online, you know, with my fiance and with everybody else, and it's just, it's not there. I mean, I don't know. It's a good game. I think if you're a fan of Diablo, you should check it out. If you're going to compare it to Oblivion, it's not going to be your game.
Right.
So.
Answer me this. How's the music?
The music is nice. I mean, it's your standard fantasy kind of orchestral arrangement. I mean, it's not going to blow your mind. It's not going to stick out, but it's a nice ambience.
Because I read an article somewhere that the composer of Two Worlds actually was a big-time composer of movies in the 80s. He was the guy who did the soundtrack to a lot of 80s movies. One of them was Beverly Hills Cop.
Really?
He was the one who actually came up. Yeah. He actually came up with the do 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 do, you know, the main theme.
Yeah.
That, you know, Beverly Hills Cop.
Well, if they played that in
Cop,
Two Worlds, it might fit with some of the dialogue that's in there.
Oh, I heard.
Mayhap. Must I go over yonder to tell you about mayhap do badness? Lovely weather we're having.
I can't hear Beverly Hills Cop without thinking of the Honorable Judge Reinhold.
The Honorable.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I think about. It's like I said, it's not horrible, but it's not outstanding. It doesn't stand out and go pop and slap you in the face. Moving on, I also tried out NBA Live 08. Like I say, it's really good.
Really?
It's really surprisingly good. I played it. Mm. It's really good. You got to be into basketball games.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. They finally, after three tries, they finally get it right. Kind of like EA takes 3 years to get their games in the, you know, like Madden was better this year. You know, hockey's better this year. Now basketball's going to be better this year.
It's all cyclical.
Yeah. And then I also played hockey, which to me felt like a lot like last year's. So, NHL 08. I haven't played 2K8 yet, which last year's was good. It just didn't look great. So, hopefully they'll fix the graphics like they did with MLB this year.
I heard that the upcoming FIFA game is supposed to be really good.
For me, FIFA is just like FIFA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a soccer fan. But,
I'm not either.
I heard that it was supposed to be really good this year, so we'll see.
Well, hopefully. I mean, I'd never play them. I don't like soccer. I play it, and I'm like, these rules are stupid. I get angry at them.
You fear what you do not understand.
I do.
Yes.
I do. And the last game that I'm playing that's big is Folklore.
Folklore.
Yeah, they put up an English demo. We've been playing the English version.
Uh-huh.
And now it makes sense. Like, the story actually makes sense now. And what I like about folklore is it's different. I mean, I described this to somebody yesterday. I said, it's if Pokemon and Devil May Cry had a demon child, it would be folklore. I mean, it's a really, it's a different experience. It's a good game. And I can't believe I'm actually going to buy something made by Game Arts or Game Republic, the guys that made Genji.
Yeah.
I can't actually believe I'm going to purchase a title made by the giant crab.
I was about ready to say, does it have any giant enemy crabs?
You know, it might, because there's a lot of monsters in the game, so there might be a giant enemy
crab.
Can
you hit the weak point for massive damage?
I hope so, because that's just a great joke.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about folklore. I can't wait for it to come out, and then that's like, outside of Heavenly Sword, that's my big PS3 release until Uncharted.
When's folklore coming out?
I think it's in early October.
Okay, because I think I'm going to pick that game up as well.
I'm actually really excited about it. I mean, I've played through both demos, English and Japanese, and I think it's different. I think it's the demo was really nicely paced. It seems like there's a lot of depth to the monster catching and all that. Plus, it doesn't overutilize the six axis.
Yeah.
Which I like that, because like you'll grab onto the monster with the trigger, and then you got to jerk in different directions to try to get its soul out. I mean, I like it.
I think that's the key to six-axis control is, or the key, I should say, not the six-axis control, but to motion control, is if you have the entire game based on motion control, like most of the games on the Wii, it turns out gimmicky.
Yeah.
And if you have too little of the game based on motion control, it feels tacked on. You got to kind of find the middle ground. If you're going to use it at all, you need to kind of find the middle ground and borrow from both areas, because otherwise it doesn't work out.
That's how I like it. Like in Heavenly Sword, with like when you do the aftertouch and you throw it, and then you can steer like the bullets and the arrows and stuff with the motion control. I think that's good. I think that's a nice implementation of it. And plus, in Heavenly Sword, it also works in combat. Like if you jerk the controller back, she'll go up in the air for an air combo. So
sweet.
I mean, when they utilize it like that, and I think the developers are finally getting to the point where they're learning how to do it right.
Yeah, basically using the motion sensor as almost like an additional button.
Yeah, that's basically
that's
what
it boils down to. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's going to work well, and I think it's a good implementation. I'm looking forward to both of those games. So it's finally nice that my PS3 is going to start warming up a little bit. Actually, find some time to play on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about my Wii. I'd be glad when that finally warms up a little bit.
I think you should check out Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid.
You know, I've been thinking about picking it up. I'm not. I loved Metroid on NES, on Super NES.
Did you love Prime?
I did not. Wow. I'm one of the minority who really didn't dig Metroid Prime. You know, it wasn't so much that I thought it was a bad game. I absolutely didn't. I thought it was a very well made game. It just wasn't my bag.
Then you might not like Crash.
So yeah, that's what I've heard.
But I've
I'm
heard
thinking
it's
about,
really good.
I'm thinking
though.
About picking it up to check it out, just to give my Wii something to play, because I think the only thing I have left on it is Zelda still. I'm thinking about picking it up to give it a try, because I'm curious to see how it controls. So
I definitely, when I find some time, I'm going to play it, because I've heard nothing, but it just really works well.
Yeah, it's already gotten fantastic reviews so far. So
I'm really excited about
playing it. I'll give it a chance.
That wraps up what's fondling with your consoles. We're going to jump into the news now. And in the news, we have a few tidbits, which are some of them are pretty big. And then we have a huge rumor that we're going to talk about, which is the Xbox 360 fall update. We have all of the details, supposedly.
Supposedly.
It's a rumor.
We're going to qualify
it's
that.
It's a gigantic rumor.
I'll tell you what, though, if everything on that list is true, wow. That's all I can say. But we'll start off with the news, and the first piece of news is Vanillaware.
Radio.
Oh,
announcer.
Wait, yes. We forgot you have come back. Now you must bring back.
Return.
You must bring
right,
back the news
on.
Stories.
Give me 1 second. All right, let's see.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly brings to you News Quickies. Brought to you by Dick Williams, Big Dill Pickles. If you like dill pickles, eat a big dick. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
Oh my God, how can we live without that?
I don't know.
It's been so hard over the last few weeks.
You guys had to roll without it for the last couple
oh
weeks.
Man, that was fantastic.
Wow, I don't even, okay. We're going to jump right into it then. Vanillaware.
Good job.
Vanillaware is making a 2D game, a new one, for the Wii.
It might be good.
Well, here's my thing, and I love VanillaWare. I think that their you know, jump onto the scene lately has been really fantastic. I loved Odin Sphere. I thought it was really well done. Grim Grimoire was a great game. My question here is, why are we getting another game that's going to be 2D powerhouse, which everybody, when they played Odin Sphere, was the first thing they said, God, I'd love to see this on a 360 or a PS3 so that it wouldn't slow down. We're going to put it on the Wii.
Yeah.
Which the power of the Wii is not much more than the PS2, so we're probably still going to see slowdown.
That's
true.
Thing is,
go ahead.
I think VanillaWare is just trying to work their way up.
And that's fine. I have no problem with that. You know what would be really cool with this is if they made a sequel to Grim Grimoire. Because it would work with the Wii, because Grim Grimoire was a real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
So that would work with the Wii. Especially the way they had it set up where it's all 2D. Now, if they do that, that's cool. But if they go with an Odin Sphere, and they make it motion control, and they try to make a 2D game on an older hardware, or older, you know, not as powerful hardware, mm-hmm. I'm really worried that it's going to end up like Odin Sphere, where it's a great game, but at the same time, it could have been so much better.
Well, the thing is, the Wii, I mean, it is considerably more powerful than PS2, in terms of processing power, because the GameCube was essentially a lot more powerful than PS2.
Yeah, but you look at games like God of War compared to a Zelda. I mean, and it's not like the PS2 couldn't pump out some magical stuff.
Yeah, you know, but so. Thing is, though, it's going to be interesting to see how the Wii handles a two-dimensional powerhouse that
they're getting
VanillaWare.
Guilty Gear in a month or less than a month.
But see, the Wii Remote lends itself to 2D, at least when you hold it the sideways way.
Yeah, the old NES style.
And the tuba. Yeah, it lends itself to 2D, so hopefully that'll help. And, you know, these guys, they're pretty innovative developers, so I'm sure they'll come up with some pretty good ways to institute the motion control. But I'm glad that... we've got a developer again who's sort of thrown themselves into 2D pretty much exclusively at this point. So, I mean, it's nice to see because the 2D market sort of took a tank.
It really
the last
did.
Generation.
I'm excited to see it. It is a Wii game, so I mean, it'll depend if there's enough hardcores out there who really want to play it. Because Odin Sphere did decent, but it didn't do great. So.
The thing is, VanillaWare. Not only are they doing 2D, but they're doing 2D probably the best that it's ever been done.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking amazing.
I would like to call it, like, next generation 2D.
The next gen of 2D?
The next gen of 2D is, like, what VanillaWare's been doing, and
well, we'll definitely
it's
look
fantastic.
Forward to that. Next up, Tom Morello has been confirmed as the second boss in Guitar Hero 3.
You know what? I don't care. Yeah, I mean, not to say that, you know, not to just completely dismiss Tom Morello, but he's not like a fret burner.
He's
you know
not
what
a
I
legend.
Mean? He's not. No, he's not. He's not Clapton. He's you know, he's not a even a Dimebag Darrell or a Slash. He's not a fast guitar player. It's more.
No. He just. But made, he's a very he made, interesting guitar
yeah,
player.
Yeah, and he made really cool sounds with his guitar. That's. I mean, that was his pretty much.
If he's recording an original track for the boss battle, that could be different. So it could be cool.
Right.
Yeah. But you hear Tom Morello, and a lot of people go, "Who?"
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what?
That's the other thing about it is a lot of people don't know who he is. Not like I said, not to dismiss Tom Morello as a guitar player.
No, he's
a really
good
guitar
player,
but he's not. When I think of Guitar Hero boss battle, they announce Slash as a boss. That seems to fit for me.
Yeah.
Tom Morello, not as much.
And just in case anybody's wondering, Tom Morello is the guitar player for
Rage Against the Machine
and Audioslave.
And
Audioslave,
so.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe another good boss would be like Steve Vaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Vai? Yeah.
That's a thought.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to get Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yeah, I know, for the achievement.
Oh,
Well, there might be some. That's the thing. I was thinking, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have like Stevie Ray Vaughan or Jimi Hendrix, but there might be some issues.
There might
with
be
their
some
estates.
Issues with Jimi Hendrix. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that could be cool. But they haven't announced all the bosses yet, so we're still.
We'll see.
We'll see who else is coming.
See.
We will see
how many bosses are there supposed to be?
There's no announcement yet, even though the game is just a little over a month away, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
But we will see.
Wonder if old Joe Perry from Aerosmith will show up.
Did you hear the rumor about
that? I did hear that,
the
about
rumor
Guitar Hero 4.
Guitar Hero 4 is going to be all about Aerosmith. That's going to be like the whole game. Which
really?
If that happens, I'm kind of dismissing
it. I mean, I like Aerosmith, but...
I don't think I could play a whole game.
No.
Just Aerosmith. But anyway, moving on. We got some disappointing news. According to an EB Games listing, Mercenaries 2 World in Flames has been delayed until April 2008.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's disappointing because we really wanted to play the game this year.
Yeah.
But it's not disappointing at the same time as it's like, oh, this frees up another
exactly.
game that
that's,
I was going to buy.
That's exactly what I was about ready to say. There's so many games coming out this year that it's not going to, unless one of... the titles that I'm really looking forward to gets delayed.
Well, yeah.
It's not as much going to break my... I'm really looking forward to Mercenaries.
Yeah,
but,
I am too.
But, you know, I need all the free time I can get to play the games that are coming out this year and this holiday, so...
I'll tell you what, in April 2008, that game has a much better chance to do
freaking
amazing than it does in, like, November.
Absolutely.
So, it's not too disappointing, but it's disappointing that it's happening that way. Next up, some more music game news. The Grateful Dead has been announced for Rock Band.
Whoa.
18 tracks through download service. You'd be able to play as Jerry Burr.
You know, that's really awesome.
So Rock Band is becoming, like, the Napster of music games.
Yeah.
Just, like, everything, and you'd be able to download it, like, ridiculous amounts of songs to play. Which I saw some, I saw on the 1UP show them playing Faith No More.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. It looks... God, I'm so excited about that game.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really, you know, before I wasn't all that jacked up about Guitar Hero as it related to Rock Band. But now that they're starting to release more information on Guitar Hero 3, I'm starting to really get geeked
Guitar
up
Hero
for it
3's
too.
Track list so far
is
freaking
great.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, and
yeah.
they're mostly master tracks.
And to me, the track list on Guitar Hero 3 so far is probably a little better than the track list
yeah,
on Rock
Band.
Yeah,
I mean,
so far.
Like, just from your variances from, like, Tenacious D to, like, the Beastie Boys to, you know, just ridiculous
right.
stuff. And it just, and then I've seen the Slash Battle. I've seen the note spread, and it's yeah. just incredible. And then, of course, the Dragon Force Through the Fire and the Flames, which is the new Jordan. Just looks freaking amazing to play. So
I still think they need a Dream Theater song.
Hey, they haven't announced every track.
Yeah, Dream Theater. I love Dream Theater. It's like one of my favorite bands. It's like up there with Rush. I think Dream Theater would be a...
wow.
Well, Geddy Lee is going to be in Rock Band, so...
Yeah.
Even
oh,
though
really?
It is a cover. So
yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, Tom Sawyer's in Rock Band.
Yeah.
But then again, Guitar Hero has won. By Metallica.
Yes, it does.
Which still, I cannot wait to play.
You better set aside some time to play that one, though.
Yeah, I know, like 8 minutes long. Like, come on. All right, next up on the list. This will make one of our staff members happy. Carla Sanosuke, they are bringing a new Yakuza to the PS3 next
really?
Year. So, whether or not it'll come stateside, we don't know, because the second one never did, but... Hey, at least it's
you
getting a third
know.
One.
It's in development, at least.
So, here's another one that really hurt me. No Crackdown 2.
No Crackdown 2.
Developer Real Time Worlds has moved on to APB and the rest of their other projects, and they said Microsoft did not ask them to return for a sequel, so no
Jeez.
Crackdown 2.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean... It doesn't. I mean, it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad. You know what I mean? Because number one, I'm anxious to see the next game that they work on because Crackdown turned out so well.
Yeah.
And number two, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of open world sandbox games coming out in the next year. You know, the Crackdown 2. I don't know.
It's disappointing.
It's disappointing, but it's not gonna. It's not. Going to break my heart.
As long as they continue to support it with DLC, I'm
right.
cool.
Oh, yeah.
But,
absolutely.
You know, I'm still a little like, oh, that kind of sucks. I'm not going to see a sequel, you know.
With, you know, with Prototype and with...
Mercenaries.
What's the other one?
Prototype looks really sweet.
Yeah, Prototype does look pretty good.
Prototype looks friggin' amazing.
What's the other one?
Borderlands.
No, there's another one that's superhero-style sandbox game.
Oh, Infamous.
Infamous,
for the
yes.
PlayStation 3, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those two games in and of themselves could substitute for Crackdown very easily,
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Long as they're good.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. So, you know, it hurts, but, you know, we'll get enough games to fill that niche. And, I mean, obviously we can't forget Grand Theft Auto 4.
Well, yeah.
So.
You seem to tend to forget about
right.
that. You're just kind of like, it's Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's Grand Theft Auto.
Next up, Rock Band is touring the country. If you go to our website at newsforgamers.com, or if you go to ztgamedomain.com,
nice plug.
There is a list of cities. The Harmonix and the team is going to be taking the game around the country, setting up kiosks and allowing you to play it. So that's actually very cool. It's like a Rock Band tour.
That'd be awesome.
I'd definitely go on there and check and see if it's coming to a city near you.
Absolutely.
Next up on the list, Microsoft and Rare have announced that there is no more downloadable content coming for Viva Pinata. So,
wow.
Oh, yeah, I know you're upset.
Break my heart. Frickin' Rare.
You know, actually...
Ooh, make Killer Instinct 3.
I was really not upset about this, even though I like Viva Pinata. I think that the downloadable content sucks. I mean, it's just hats.
Is it horse armor level of suck?
Well, it's like three items for 90 points, and it's usually a hat.
Right.
And like a collar or something. I'm like, this
is...
You
want a cool little hat for your
pinata? I want new pinatas. I want new items that I can use in my garden. But no, they give me this crap, so...
They need to release some downloadable content for Viva Pinata that has Fulgore just coming into your little pinata ranch and killing them
just
all.
Just killing everybody? That'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be sweet.
That's disappointing for the fans of the game, but at the same time, do you really care because your DLC sucked anyway? The last thing on the list is Tokyo Game Show starts next week, so,
woot.
Woot!
Or not next week, the 20th, so
right.
It'll be a week after next,
woot,
but, we will definitely be covering that on the show that happens that week. I'm sure we're going to hear a few announcements.
Oh, yeah.
Some more Japanese stuff coming out, and we might actually figure out what system Star Ocean's coming out on.
Oh!
It was confirmed for
was
PS3.
Was it PS3?
PS3.
Cool.
Star Ocean 4 exclusive for PS3. I think I read, too, that they're going to be developing a Star Ocean for the PSP.
There's
as
one
well.
For the PSP. I think there's three different games total.
Right.
I know they were still like debating on which system that 4 was going to be on, but if it's now for PS3, that's cool.
It's not... Obviously, it's not a huge exclusive for them, because, you know, you ask the average gamer, and they really don't know much about Star Ocean.
No.
But it is, I mean,
it's
it
a
should
big
be a really solid franchise, and it's another, you know, exclusive feather in the hat for Sony.
And that's good.
So, which is good for them because they've lost some. So.
Yeah, they have lost a lot, and I think this is a good one. I mean, between that and Final Fantasy, they should have the RPG crowd pretty
and,
sealed.
And Haze being announced as a PS3,
yeah,
PS3
exclusive
now,
too,
so.
Which is still, what's funny as I find about that, is a lot of people are still talking about, like, it's timed. But you know what? I mean, I think it looks good.
Yeah, I do.
But at the same time, if it's like a 6-month time exclusive, I'm not even going to care.
Right.
Because I'll play it on the PS3 and I'll be done with it.
Right. Well, and the other thing about it, too, is, Haze isn't really going to work as a timed exclusive, in my opinion, if they try and do it on 360, because Haze looks great and the story sounds interesting. But the fact of the matter is, you know, as much as, you know, since the PS3 fanboys love to point this out, and the Xbox 360 fanboys love to argue against it, the 360 is a shooter machine.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of shooters on the system, and there's going to be a lot of shooters released, including this little one you may have heard of called Halo 3.
Maybe.
And, you know, by the time Haze rolls out on the 360, if it's
nobody's going to care.
It's probably going to be around the same time Unreal rolls out on the 360, and then nobody's going to care about Haze.
No.
So it's probably for the best that it's staying PS3 exclusive.
And plus, if we get it earlier, we're going to get it this year.
Right.
So one platform makes it easier to get out, so it's fine with me. I'll play it on the PS3 and I'll be happy because it looks really good.
Yeah, it does look good.
But moving on, we now have our rumor, and this is, we only have one, but it's going to be a big one.
A giant rumor.
And this is a giant rumor. I can't remember what website I snagged this from, but this is the entire supposed leaked Xbox 360 fall update. This is everything that's going to be added to the system in the fall update, which is due in November.
Enlighten us.
The following news and views are not wholeheartedly endorsed, supported, or believed in by the ZT and N4G podcast crew.
No. This is just
throw the disclaimer out there. So
I don't want you going on
this is a rumor.
Yeah, I don't want to go on the boards and people be like, they said it was coming.
You guys promised it was coming. You suck.
If all of this stuff happens, it's going to be one of the greatest updates of all time. First up, compatibility with third-party wireless controllers. I didn't know it wasn't.
I didn't either. What the hell's the point in having a third-party wireless controller if it doesn't work?
The second one, compatibility with Messenger Pad. Once again, I didn't know it wasn't. I just bought one of these things, and it's freaking awesome, but, I mean, I didn't know it wasn't compatible. Vision firmware upgrade, so the camera's not going to have sharper image filtering.
Sweet, so sharper image filtering for the zero games that you can use it on.
Many
so
more,
I can play Totem Ball.
Many more Vision Cam settings. So some upgrades to the Vision Cam. New screensaver settings. Screensaver will play for optional time before the screen goes black.
Nice.
New Blade.
A new Blade.
Xbox Live Arcade Blade.
Nice.
Oh, that would be a nice Blade.
You can download, play, and learn about Live Arcade. Brand new web-based Adver games.
Adver games.
They're Flash games which aren't downloaded, but you'll be able to play them. They're bite-sized, and they'll be in the Live Arcade Blade.
Gotcha. So just basically like your
Flash games, yeah.
Hit this duck and win a free PS3 game, yeah. Like you play on the internet.
Or so. Where Alien Hominid started.
Right.
So you could get stuff like that. New screensaver option in themes and gamer picks. New functionality with Messenger. It works with the chat pad. I thought it already did.
You would hope.
I hope so. New XNA game launcher. So if you're a member of that program, there's new options for that. So
nice.
That's pretty cool. New language, time, and date settings. That's kind of boring.
Root.
New, and this is in quotes, new advertising opportunities in gameplay.
Oh, yes.
So which that's going to be a question later in the show.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Here's a big one, Xvid support. So we actually get AVI support?
Nice.
That could be big.
Hmm.
A new favorites option in Xbox Live Arcade to rate according to preference.
That's a good idea.
So that's
especially for guys like you that have 18 million arcade games.
I know, I like have to go into it and I'm like, I have to scroll through and figure out what the hell I want to play.
Me, I have 15, so not as much an issue.
I have 86.
Shut up.
I have all of them. IPTV is coming.
Nice.
Fall update. So
IPTV, a lot of people looking forward to that.
Yep.
Sweet.
I have DVR already, so not as much.
See, I don't, so I might look into it.
There you go.
You'll be able to filter your friends list now via games. Which is very nice.
That is incredible.
You got a bunch of guys on there playing Gears of War, and you got a bunch of guys on there playing Halo, and you want to separate your friends list, you can do that now.
That's a great idea.
Hmm.
Here's the big one, clan support. You'd be able to start a clan through your friends list and manage all your friends that are in the clan, and you'd be able to launch games directly from the dashboard with just your clan.
That is
so basically the Halo party system from the dashboard.
Built into Xbox Live, which is...
That is awesome.
How long have we been saying that every game should have clan support like Halo, or should have friend support like Halo?
Exactly. That's exactly what this is, and that's exactly what it needs to be.
That's the best idea I've ever heard, so I'll keep my fingers crossed that this actually comes through.
And there'll be a clan category in your friends list now, so you can just monitor your friends and your clan.
Wow, that's a great idea.
So hopefully that one's true, because that's the big one I want.
If so, we'll have to make an N4G clan.
Yes, we'll make an N4G clan that will just be gigantic. Which, if they do that, I hope they really give us more than 100 friends.
Yeah.
Because 100's going to run out real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Better translations in settings in other languages. German, Spanish, Japanese.
That's good, because sometimes I just put it in German to be crazy.
Yeah, you know. There's a new quick delete option with the X button, which could be good or bad.
Yeah,
that would be... Oh, crap.
option for having downloadable in-game content not inform you when it's done downloading. That's more of a visual thing. Same thing for video content. You can turn it off so it doesn't go, "Poonk, it's done."
Right.
Basically.
Why would you want to turn that off?
I don't know.
I like it when it goes, "Poonk."
Faster settings for viewing unfinished video content.
Mm.
New option in game tabs called Betas and Others. For betas and MMO games and other stuff.
Wow, that's a good idea, too.
With the popularity of the betas lately.
Yeah.
Have your own tab for that. Here's a big one from Marketplace. A games tab where you can search by letter. Thank God, finally.
Yeah.
Smarter game settings. This one could be good or bad because it means you can be messaged via publishers about new in-game content.
Oh, no.
So
it begins.
It begins. Picture-in-picture functionality for the DVD drive, if you care.
Picture-in-picture for DVD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Improved USB keyboard settings.
Wow.
Improved voice chat settings in-game and from the dashboard.
Hmm.
So that might be good. Faster response times when you redeem a code. Option to play redeemed code game right after redeeming code, I guess.
Okay.
Wow.
It's just little things.
Right.
Really little.
Console will recognize low hard drive space and inform you immediately if you can't download the item.
That's a good idea.
So,
yeah.
Increased space size for gamer picks and dashboard themes. themes may now have sound effects, which that could be cool.
Yeah,
and when you're switching between the blades, it like makes it sound like the Transformer sound. How cool would that be?
That would be sweet.
Better slideshow capabilities and new options, new sound effects, and integration with hard drive PC music capable during your slideshows. So, and new estimated timer for downloads, informing you how long it will take to download something.
Wow. So, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So
that's cool. One of those things, though, that why hasn't it been there since the beginning?
Exactly. It should have been there already. Yeah. All right. And that pretty much wraps up that rumor.
That's a big rumor.
That's a big rumor.
That's a humongous rumor.
And I've seen pictures of the clan thing, and it looks
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about the ability to receive messages from publishers.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully there'll be an option to turn that off.
You would hope.
I hope so.
If I'm... They're throwing a lot of advertisements onto Xbox Live right now.
When's it going to be free? You know?
Yeah, that's what I was about ready to say. I mean, we're paying $50 a year, which, you know, I have never complained about paying $50 a year for Xbox Live because it's an incredible service. But if you're going to throw that many advertisements at us, come on, man. Let's give us a break.
Especially when PlayStation Network's getting up there and it's getting better every...
They're starting to add a lot more stuff. I mean, still... and I'll probably get called an Xbox fanboy for this, so I'll be looking for the comment. but the PlayStation Network still isn't on the level of Xbox Live, and anybody who says it is a PS3 fanboy.
Yeah, it really isn't.
But it's really starting to get close, and it's still free.
It's still free, and that's huge.
Yeah, so...
The only thing I'm wondering is, this new update, how much hard disk space is it going to take up?
Every update is less than 10 megs.
Less than 10 megs?
The coders actually have to make it a certain size, and it has to be under that size.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah, that's very good.
That sounds like a lot of added stuff for just 10 megs.
All of the updates have been
crammed down in there.
Yeah, I think one of Major Nelson's podcasts, he actually had the guy on there, and they said they have to have it under a certain space because you have to be able to upgrade it and do it into the internal memory.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Next up, we have the online updates of the week. We'll start with the PlayStation Network. This week, you get a Stranglehold demo, NBA Live 08 demo, Ninja Gaiden Sigma expansion pack with new weapons and missions, premium content, you have to pay for it, and MotorStorm, a new mode, tracks, cars, it's $5.99 for the pack and 99 cents a car, so a lot of content, like 4 or 5 cars, 90 new races, a new mode.
That's pretty good.
A new set of tracks, so it's a lot of crap.
Man.
All of which you could buy, I think it'll run you right at $10 for all the extra stuff.
It's not bad. So,
cool. Cool updates this
week.
Pretty
much like buying a collector's edition.
Yep. Xbox Live this week, you got the Live 08 demo, the NHL 08 demo, Flat Out Ultimate Carnage demo for US, so. Cyberball 2072 for 400 points, which did not age well.
I didn't figure it would. It didn't.
Fatal Fury Special.
How is
points.
That? Because I'm thinking about downloading, and I know that you've played it. I know that you have.
Do you like losing a lot?
No.
Because I lost to the first guy.
Really?
That's how hard it is.
Man, you suck.
It's hard. I mean, it is so freaking hard. It's good. I mean, it's really well done. It's online. It's just so freaking hard. I forgot how brutal Fatal Fury was. I mean, like...
They don't play around. SNK don't play no games.
Damn, man. It's only 400 points. It is only 400 points, which is a good price.
Yeah, that's a good price.
I was amazed that both games this week were 400 points, but then Cyberball wasn't worth 100 points. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that myself, and yeah.
Yeah, it's not very good.
So that's definitely one to try out the trial version on instead of actually buying.
Yeah, Fatal Fury, try out the trial version, but I think you'll download it. I mean, it's a good game. It's just freaking hard.
Right.
Nintendo Wii Virtual Console this week, we get Adventure Island for the NES,
nice.
500 points. I can't even say this one without laughing. Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
I remember that game.
Why would you buy it on Virtual Console? Seriously, if you buy Donkey Kong Virtual Math or Donkey Kong Jr. whatever the hell it's called, if you actually buy that, send me an email, please, so I can... Just, you know, send me an email with your name and your address, and I will drive to your house and punch you in the face.
Hey, I rented that back in the day.
Well, this
I don't have to drive to your
day.
House to punch you in the
yeah,
face.
Yeah, it was okay. It was weird.
It's math.
It's a math game.
It's math. I don't play video games to count.
Dude, I played on the Atari 2600, I played a racing game. a car racing game that was driven by math.
Those are called, like, what are that, edutainment?
Yeah, those are the games that, those are the games that when you were in middle school, they tricked you into playing.
Like Oregon Trail. Play the Oregon Trail. It's so good.
I like the Oregon Trail.
I did too.
They need to make a new Oregon Trail.
They're like a next-gen Oregon Trail. you could see dysentery.
Yeah, I was about to say, so you
with
could die of dysentery.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
So your oxes can drown fording the river.
Yes. Next up, Landstalker, the treasure of the King Knoll for Genesis.
Oh, that'd be a good one to get.
What is it?
I have no idea.
It's like the Genesis equivalent to Zelda.
Oh, really?
I thought that was Phantasy Star. The old Phantasy
Star. No, Phantasy Star is more straight up like Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, I was
Final
about to
Fantasy.
Say.
Is it more RPG?
Yeah. It was more the equivalent of like Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest.
Yeah, well, yeah, new Phantasy Stars don't.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, Landstalker is it's like Zelda. It's pretty sweet.
The new Phantasy Star is the equivalent of a big bucket of ass.
And the last game is a TurboGrafx game. Can you guess what it is?
I bet it's got something to do with Bonk.
It's Bonk 3!
Yes.
Yeah!
Bonk's Big Adventure!
And I heard that...
what a shock.
I heard that each Bonk game got better. So,
really?
I guess Bonk 3 should be
pretty
sweet.
That's because Bonk was the only game on TurboGrafx 16, so they had to make it better.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I had Bonk on the Virtual Console. And you know, it was Bonk.
It was Bonk.
Bonk. All right, now we're going to roll down new releases, then we're going to take a break. New this week, in stores. We need to come up with a cool name for this. New releases just ain't cool.
How about new shit?
New shit? All right, it's called new shit. First up is Dot Hack GU Volume 3 Redemption. I wanted this like the 10th game in this series.
Yeah, but you know, some people really love Dot Hack.
Oh, they love it. I played the first one. That's about it.
Thing is, though, the new GU series is
really... What's GU stand for? Guided User Interface? That's GUI.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There's no I.
What's GU stand for?
Stupid.
Oh, I don't know. I'll assume that you're right. Yeah.
Gutter underwear?
Yeah.
Might be.
That's what it stands for.
Cool.
But I played the...
Gay Unicorns?
The first one, Volume 1, and it was actually really good. It's definitely an improvement over the first series, which there were four of, and then there's three of this series. And I heard that it's got one of the best stories ever in an RPG.
There you go.
Is there a spiky-haired guy and a crystal of life?
Yes.
And a big sword.
And a big sword and an elder.
I don't know if there was a crystal of life, but there is a big sword.
And a tree of wisdom.
And a rat of demon.
I think there's demonic rats, though. Yeah.
Sweet.
And a chainmail armor.
All right.
And a copper sword.
A copper sword.
No, wooden sword.
Yeah, wooden sword, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Next up, Drawn to Life for the Nintendo DS.
That game looked pretty interesting.
What is it? I don't know what that one is either.
Oh, it's a...
I'm out of the loop this week.
You are. Jeez, Pete.
It's like... It's an adventure game where you physically draw objects.
God, I hope it's not like that Wario game. Because that was really bad.
What was the other one? Kirby. It was a Kirby game.
Kirby,
DS,
where
like
you drew the
too.
Levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird because it's like you like get vehicles like a boat. Or,
can you draw the boat?
Yeah.
That would be pimp. Because I would draw like the funniest looking boat.
I'd draw my boat to look like a big giant shark with flames coming out
of
the sides.
I thought you were going to say you were going to draw your boat to look like a big giant penis.
No.
And thing is, if I'm not mistaken, you actually get to draw your main character.
Really?
I think so. I'm not
totally
sure. Now,
the main character
totally sure.
I might draw to look like a big giant penis.
Just run around. Did you see Superbad?
Not yet. I might go see it tonight, so don't spoil anything
for me. Okay. Well, just to say, there's a lot of penis in it.
Oh, well, man.
Not
maybe
real
I won't go
penis.
See it tonight. Oh, okay.
One of the main characters is obsessed with drawing penises, and reminded me because there were some funny pictures of penis people.
Gotcha.
That just came to mind when I saw that.
We've talked a lot about penis on the podcast so far, so it's
little
probably
bit,
time to move
too
on.
Much.
We're not fanboys anymore. Now we're just gay.
Now we're just penis lovers.
Now we're gay fanboys.
Next up, Oblivion Game of the Year for the 360. So basically the same thing as Morrowind.
If you haven't bought any of the expansion packs, that's probably a good investment. I think I might pick it up.
Yeah. It's $60.
Yeah,
it's and then also Shivering Isles is coming to the retail for $30, I think,
right.
For 360, so on disc. NHL 2K8 hits the streets this week for 360, PS3, and PS2. Seven Wonders for the DS. Do you know what this is, Mr. DS?
Actually, no.
I don't know what it is either.
I'm going to research what Seven Wonders is.
You do that and get back to us.
Yeah. Dirt for the PS3, which if you don't have a 360, definitely pick this game up. It was freaking
gorgeous.
Awesome.
Gorgeous. And from what I understand, it's actually a little better on the PS3. Yeah. So, oddly enough.
Everybody's waiting on this one. Fatal Inertia is coming this week for 360. So, another game that should not be $60.
If you are at all considering picking up Fatal Inertia, please download the demo first.
Yes.
Because it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's like controlling a bar of soap.
It's like controlling
through a prison shower room.
that was the what was implied by that. I wasn't going to say it because you know there's been a lot of penis discussion.
Well, but, I didn't say anything about
that's
penis.
What was implied.
Also, this
that's
week,
hilarious man.
Guilty Gear XX Accent Core for the PS2.
What is that?
Fighting game.
Yeah.
Don't you know what Guilty Gear is?
Yeah, I know what Guilty Gear is. I was just wondering if it was the 2D action adventure or the, RPG version.
By the way, did you see the pictures of Guilty Gear 2?
No, does it look good?
It's an adventure game in 3D.
Damn it!
Ruin the world.
Dude, it's like...
Not many people
do because everybody got rid of their original Xboxes when they bought the 360. You know, the people who actually had an original Xbox before the 360 came out. But if you still have your old Xbox laying around somewhere, buy Guilty Gear if you haven't already. I know I say that like every podcast, but that's because none of you have bought it yet.
It's freaking awesome. And it was only $20
right
when it came out. So.
The day it launched, it was $20, and it's one of the best fighting games I've ever played. Second probably only to Marvel vs. Capcom as far as fighting games go on the Xbox.
You know Marvel wants Marvel vs. Capcom on Xbox Live Arcade?
I know they do.
You know who else wants it?
This guy.
Every single person in the frickin' world.
Yeah.
Give it to me with achievements and online play, I will
and
cry.
Some touched up graphics maybe? I would weep.
I will pee in my pants.
Well, that's maybe a little excessive.
Alright. Next up, Jam Sessions for the DS.
Jam!
I think this is a music rhythm game for the DS.
It better be.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's a music rhythm game.
It could be
game.
A basketball game. Jam Sessions, you know?
It's like a...
Damn!
It's like a guitar...
Do ya!
Yeah, thank you for cutting me off a couple times. Yeah.
Hey, when you got Michael Jackson just coming up through you, you can't...
Wow, I'm not even going to go there.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
We'll just pretend that never was said.
What'd you say about Jam Sessions? I'm sorry.
It's like a guitar simulator.
Okay.
Like Guitar Hero.
But on the DS.
But on the DS and...
Without a guitar.
Does that work out?
You can actually...
You play your stylus like a little guitar?
You can actually plug your DS into a... crap.
You can plug your DS into a crap?
No.
You could probably do that anyway. I don't know that it would help you much.
You touch
crap? I got a brain fart, man. You know,
this whole podcast has really devolved in like the last 15 minutes.
It's like, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be like, oi, oi, oi. But,
are you a pig now? What?
No. But, You can plug your DS into a...
you're talking about an amplifier.
Amplifier, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I remember seeing this now.
Like an actual amplifier?
Yeah. Well, there's a special amplifier you can buy for it, too. It's like $40 or something, and you plug the DS into it, and then it jams out through the amplifier.
Huh. I mean, that in itself is pretty sweet.
It's kind of cool, innovative, a little expensive, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Also this week, I know you've been waiting on this, Kingo, Legends of the Nine, is due out this week. So I mean,
shut up.
Kingo is due out.
Shut up. I don't want to hear it.
It'll be $20
freaking
in like
Kingo.
2 days.
If
it's 50 to start, yeah.
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 I do want to see it because I want to see if it sucks as bad as I imagine that it's going to suck.
Maybe they'll release a demo.
I want to see if they can actually do more to sully the good name of Bushido Blade.
I'm sure they can.
Probably.
I mean, Kabuki Warriors came out.
Oh god, shut up. Don't even remind me of Kabuki Warriors.
The other hockey game, NHL 08, is due out this week for 360, PS3, PS2. Skate is due out this week, but only for the 360. PS3 version's a little later. And the big release this week, Heavenly Sword for the PlayStation 3.
Oh!
I mean, it's not Halo.
That wasn't the Halo theme. That was the...
That was the start of the Halo theme.
No, that was like the generic.
Oh, okay.
It was like a generic version.
I'll be picking that up. So next week I'll be talking about it.
Yeah, I'm looking... I really like to see what it's like hands-on, because it's gotten a lot of good reviews, it's gotten some bad reviews, so it's one of those games when I kind of just want to play it for myself, see what it looks like. But
yeah.
So those are the big releases. That's the news. That's the rumors. That's the what you've been fondling. So, Mr. Khan, we're going to take a break. So if you would be so kind. Close out the show now. First thing we're going to do is we're going to play into our new segment, which is the Ask a Question, where the readers get on the forums, they post us a couple questions, and we answer them and do a little discussion about them.
So go to the forums and post some questions.
Yes, keep posting these questions because these have gotten some really good responses. The first question is from Silver Wolf, one of our moderators, and she wants to know if we played the Area 51 Black Site demo and what did we think? And she said it left her wanting more because it was too damn short.
It was very short.
It was very short.
It didn't leave me wanting more.
See, I did. It did.
It seems like it's going to be a pretty good game, but here's the problem. It runs into the same problem with me that Hayes does, in that it's going to be a first-person shooter released in a bad time to be a first-person shooter if you don't have Halo in your name. And, you know, it doesn't to me. It's a good game. It really is. Plays well. Controls good. The enemies are cool. But I can't bring myself to really get geeked up about it. Just because it, you know, it seems like kind of more of the same.
See, I think the real reason why I'm so pumped up about it is I'm such an Alien aficionado.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that kind of crap. And the fact that this one is actually one of the first games to kind of take the Iraq War and bring it into a video game, because that's how the game starts. You're in Iraq as a soldier for the Americans, and you're fighting the Iraqi war, and that's how the game starts. And then all of a sudden, these aliens take over, and they follow you back home. And then you're going through these towns, and just the end of that demo, where that thing came out of the sky and just exploded, and like, oh, and then it's like, to be continued.
Right.
And I'm really excited about it. I mean, and it might be, I think for me, it comes out at a time when Halo's going to be, you know, over for a little bit. You know, you're going to be in that 3-month phase where you've been playing it for 3 months and you're looking for something to kind of take you away from it. And I think this would be a good game for me for that. I don't think it's going to commercially do like anything spectacular.
Yeah.
Like I said, it seems like it's going to be a really good game, but it's going to be one of those games that you know it's going to show up in a bargain bin in 6 months to a year.
Which, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they delayed it into next year.
No, absolutely not.
I think they should delay it to next year. Because I think any FPS that comes out pretty much for the rest of the year,
outside of Call of Duty 4.
That's the one I will give you the exception. That's
of.
True.
And, I mean, you should say out any FPS that comes out in the next year on the 360.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Unreal Tournament comes out this year.
For the PS3.
For the PS3. And, you know, that obviously won't have Halo to overshadow it, at least not with PS3 owners. So.
But I wonder how many PS3 owners actually care about Unreal, you know? I don't know.
I mean, I think that they will just because, you know what I mean? It's the first... Well, I shouldn't say that. It's a big, high-profile shooter on their console.
Yeah.
So I think that'll... Plus, a lot of them are pretty geeked up about the custom content that you can work in for the PS3 version, so...
Well, here's a nice little segue into that. And I forgot about this question because it was actually posted before I set it up. This comes from The Big Loser, and he asks questions every week.
Right.
And they're usually really good. He is user-created content. It's been around on the PC forever.
There you go.
Now it's slowly going to consoles, obviously with Unreal Tournament 3. And then XNA and all that stuff. Another big game, he's talking about Spore. Halo 3 uses it with the Forge and the save films. His question is, so when do you think user-created content will be the norm for console games?
Probably next generation.
You thinking after 360, PS3, Wii?
Yeah, I'm thinking like the next round of systems, it'll be a lot more of a normal thing. Because I think the next generation of game consoles is going to be, everybody's going to have a hard drive. It's going to be a really... really, like, humongous hard drive. I'm talking like a terabyte drive that'll come like standard with all the next systems.
You really think the next generation systems are going to come with a terabyte hard drive?
At least a terabyte.
I see, I don't believe that. I think maybe 100, 200 gigs.
I don't know, because, well, Sony, I think Sony will probably be the one that will release like a terabyte drive, because they'll probably be, I'm predicting that they'll probably be the last system to come out for like next generation, because, you know, they set the bar so high with PS3.
Well, and they claim it has a 10-year...
10-year lifespan. But that's like too. The PS2, that's including what it does right. after the other new right. systems come out.
So yeah.
They'll probably wait a good while before they release the PS4.
I say another 4 to 5 years from right. now.
So, and if, you know, to me, if the terabyte hard drive is required, then put it on there. But
yeah.
seriously, I mean...
That's a lot of space.
That's a lot of space.
Well, not really. Not when you're considering that a system in the next generation after this one might use the hard drive exclusively for all game downloads.
That's what I'm saying. If it's going to be something where a terabyte, you're going to require a terabyte of data, then okay, that's fine. But don't just put it on there so you can say, my system has a terabyte hard drive, when you know you're never going to use the space.
Oh, no, in about 5 years from now, if technology, you know, is going in the direction it does, in about 5 years from now, a new system will probably require a terabyte hard drive, just for, you know, its functionality, because, I mean...
It's possible with the way marketplace has gone with video content, but as far as yeah. user-created content, I think, as far as it becoming the norm, I agree that it probably won't be... I don't even know that it'll be the norm next generation. I think it'll be implemented next uh-huh. generation, but I don't think it'll be in every game, kind of like now how we have, you know, certain things in every game. Kind of yeah. like Rumble. I mean, well, not to use Rumble as a good example because Sony doesn't use it, but just saying, just like Rumble, that's in every game for 360 and Wii.
Are we back on user-created content now?
Yeah, that's. Okay. I was trying to get back onto the question, yeah.
Well, as far as user-created content goes, to me, it depends on your definition of user-created content, because sports games have been basically... User-created content in sports games has been the norm for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about if a new sports game launched without create-a-player or create-a-team ability, people would throw a fit. So that's one form of user-created content. That's what I'm saying. It depends on your level of user-created content.
I think his question more pertains to things where you can upload them and
right,
share.
Right. In that instance...
Little Big Planet.
I really don't think it's going to be that much longer. I honestly think this generation, it's going to become... the norm in at least most games, if not all games, some
yeah.
form of user-created content.
I'm all for it.
You got the new camera for PS3 coming out. You've already got the Vision camera, even though it's not really utilized.
Yeah.
You've got, like you were saying, Unreal, Halo, all these games that are sort of these huge titles that are coming out that are embracing user-created content. So I think this generation it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Like in the next couple years.
So you think next generation it'll be the norm? Like
yeah.
every game?
Absolutely. Absolutely by then. I think it'll be the norm before the end of this generation, but absolutely by next generation.
I would so before that. I still feel that it's still going to take an extra generation beyond the next one before it happens.
Yeah.
But then again, I could be wrong. I don't know. I would like to see it because it's nice to have it as an option because it adds
it
another
is.
Bullet point on the back of the box and
not
it extends the life of the game.
Right. That's what I was about to say. Not to mention it gives infinite replayability if you have... user-created content.
That's like with Far Cry. How long did we play Far Cry? Just because
yeah.
you could make your own maps.
Right, and
you know?
I mean, look at Warcraft 3. People are still playing Warcraft 3 on the PC because you can create your own maps.
Same way with Starcraft.
Right.
I mean, just the being
yeah.
able to create your own maps is a huge thing, and I think with Forge for Halo, that's going to give that game legs that Halo 2 never dreamed of.
Yeah.
And Halo 2's still going.
Yep.
So I can't imagine how long Halo 3 is going to go.
That's Halo 3,
correct.
It's like set in stone, man.
It's going to be a huge game. I mean, if you think about all the bullet points on that game with four-player online co-op, you know the Forge, saved films, the ability for downloadable content, I mean, there's just so much crap
yeah.
that you can do with that game. The customability of the match types, being able to, you know, the speed, the gravity, you know, being able to edit the maps, it's going to be huge.
I really think that, and once again, probably get labeled a fanboy for this, but I really do think that after Unreal launches for the PS3 and after Halo launches for the 360, that people are going to start looking at first-person shooters that don't have options like that as disappointing.
Kind of like people look at first-person shooters without online.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's disappointing.
Because Halo, biggest title on the 360, obviously. Unreal is going to be a huge title for the PS3. Probably, to be honest, will be the biggest title on the PS3 until Killzone comes out.
Probably this year.
And, you know, with the exception maybe of Uncharted, depending on how it turns out.
Yeah.
But it's a different genre. But to me, once those two titles launch and people see the depth of the customization on both of them, you're really gonna start looking at games completely differently as far as user created content.
That goes big with Little Big Planet too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's driven by user created content.
Yeah,
right.
So we'll see how that goes. I mean, it could be really good, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this new option in these games. I can't wait to play some of the Unreal maps people make, because that's the beauty of that. It's like, you know, I'm tired of this map. Make a new one.
Yeah. So. You know what else is encouraging? It's similar to user-created content, not exactly the same thing. But now that the Wii is getting into the garage development business with WiiWare, and, you know, Xbox has been into it with X and A, you're probably going to see in the next couple of years, once people get more familiar with WiiWare, once they release more tools for it and so forth, and the same thing with X and A, I'm sure you're going to see a lot more garage-developed games, small developers.
Yeah.
You know, people not just creating new user content for existing games, but creating brand-new games that I'm sure will do pretty well, especially on virtual console and on live arcade.
Yeah. Like Aegiswing.
Aegiswing,
yep, exactly,
one of
like Aegiswing.
Yeah. And if any of them are as good as that game, I'm really looking forward to it,
because
Aegiswing was awesome.
Or was an everyday shooter for the PS3?
Yep.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, user-created games, I mean, they can turn out to be... Look at Alien Hominid.
Yeah.
It became a phenomenon.
It's another great example.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll move on to the next question. Dukester, who's another one of our forum moderators. If you guys had a chance to visit any one game developer that is currently still in business, who would it be and why? I'll start with you, Mr. Khan. Where would you go?
You start with me?
I'm sorry. Did you not want me to start with you?
Well, let me think here. I would probably say Mistwalker.
Mistwalker?
Yeah.
Okay, why would you go visit them?
I'd like to hang out with Sakaguchi and Uematsu and Kira Toriyama and be like, what's up, guys? So, when's the...
What up, guys?
I'd be like, when's the new Chrono game coming out? And they'll be like, well, Square Enix, they own the Chrono series. And then I'm like, yeah, I know that. But what you guys can do is do a spiritual successor to the Chrono series. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. What's your name? And I'll be like, Gambus Khan. And they're like, yes, Gambus Khan gave us this idea.
And yeah, they won't give you credit for it.
Yeah, they won't give me credit. But I'll be like the, you know, I'd be behind the scenes, you know. I'd be like the elusive, and then they'll make a great game, just like the great game that Blue Dragon is.
You'd be like Zero Tolerance in his Splashdown Rides Gone Wild story.
Blue Dragon was fantastic. I really like it. I mean, it's a classic type of game with next-generation visuals. I mean, that's all what it was meant to be.
So you would like to visit Mistwalker just to try to get them to make a new Chrono game? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not just that, but, you know, they're legends, you know.
They're like the dream team of RPGs?
Pretty much. Sakaguchi, when he did the original Final Fantasy, I mean, he created a phenomenon. And, yeah, if I had to pick a second one, it'd probably be Kojima Productions, but, you know, everybody would probably be like Kojima Productions.
Not this guy.
All right, so where would you go?
There are three.
Wow.
Wow.
There are three. First, I would go to Tim Schafer's house, and I would buy him a cake, a giant cake, and a keg of beer, or whatever he likes to drink. Possibly, you know, a hooker, anything that he wanted, pretty much, and beg him to make another Psychonauts. Even though the last one sold like ass, it was the best game that I ever played. One of the best games that I ever played. And then I'd go to LucasArts, and I tell them to make another frickin' Battlefront on next-gen consoles. I'm looking forward to the PSP one, but make it on the friggin' 360 and the PS3. Scrap the Wii. And it just wouldn't work on the Wii. So make another Battlefront on next-gen. Then I'd go to Rare, and I would beat them with a sack of oranges until they made Killer Instinct 3.
I like that answer.
It's the truth.
That's a good answer.
It is. That's a good answer. Beat them with a sack of oranges.
I would beat them with a... Well,
why don't you
bruises.
Beat them with a pinata?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sack of oranges hurts more, though, and it doesn't leave bruises.
This is true. Why don't you beat them with a sack of oranges like a pinata?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I would.
Or you could have a bunch of oranges in the pinata.
That's true.
See, there's a thought.
Yeah. And it would be shaped like Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, God.
Stupid Banjo-Kazooie.
All right, well, I guess if I had to visit one, I'd have to go to Team Ninja and just chill with Itagaki-san.
Oh, man.
I would definitely have to go chill with Itagaki, because I have met him. And he's a really cool guy.
Would you be wearing your shades?
I would have to put on my shades and leather pants just so I could hang with Itagaki. And then I'd let him just, like, own me at Dead or Alive. You know,
yeah, I bet you'd let him own you.
He would friggin' whoop my ass. Because you know he's, like, ridiculous at that game. And then I'd be like, so, when's Dead or Alive 5 coming out? You know, because if you make another volleyball, we're going to fight. And you're 4 feet tall and I will win.
Yeah, so,
I would definitely go there. I can't think of it. I mean, I'd obviously like to go see Kojima.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak the English. So, that'd be a little rough. I don't think Itagaki speaks much English either. I think he can.
Well, he's Japanese, so...
Well, that doesn't mean you can't speak
right.
English.
Thing is, I heard that Kojima can actually... He actually understands a lot of English speaking, but I heard that Kojima actually pretends that he doesn't quite understand what you're saying.
So he doesn't have to talk to you crazy fanboys?
Well, not just that, but... He likes to hear criticism, like almost like behind his back, just so that he knows like how truthful a person is. That's just how deep he
is. Part of it is probably because he doesn't want to listen to a whole bunch of screaming fanboys bitch about Raiden.
That's true.
That could be also yeah.
I also would love to hang out with Itagaki just so I could tell him how good Tekken is. So I could hear him yell at me and ask me why it's so good.
He's very philosophical.
Tekken requires no skill.
He's like, oh, this is about as enjoyable as playing Tekken.
Yeah, and he'll be like, what do you like about Tekken? Enlighten me. Talk to me for hours.
Oh, yeah, he would. Because he really hates Tekken.
Yeah. Not a big fan of the Tekken.
He's not a big fan of the
not
Tekken.
Not a big fan of the King of Iron Fist tournament.
I can't imagine anybody else that would be that cool to hang out with, though, because you could, like, go drinking with him and just start philosophizing about fighting games. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, I would dig that. Next question. Advertising in games. This comes from Lil Bush, who's a very popular question asker.
Yes.
He asks at least two a week, almost. He wants to know, do we think it's bad?
Everybody looking at me.
I'm just looking around.
Well, it's one of those things that's just a part of the world. I mean, everywhere that you look in life, there's advertising. I mean, if you're driving down the highway, you know, you're seeing advertisements. If you're walking down the street, you see advertisements. And in video games, it's like no different. It's one of those things that I take with a grain of salt. And I do believe that advertisements has a part to play in video games. But here's the plot twist right here.
Dun, ooh, dun, dun. Here comes the Shamalama Ding Dong.
You got to have it within the context of the reality of the story. Like if you're playing a Final Fantasy game, you can't have like one of the characters just say, "Oh, I'm gonna before I slay this monster, I'm gonna drink a Dr. Pepper."
A character named Doritos.
A character named Doritos. Yeah, exactly. You know, product placement.
I have cholesterol +5.
Yeah, like if it's in like a fantasy setting, no, absolutely not. But for a game like Tony Hawk, or a game that actually takes place in the real world. The real world of Halo, or a world that's similar to the real world, like Grand Theft Auto. I think advertising is normal. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, real life is, you know, I mean, if games are becoming more realistic, then that's kind of a part of the whole plan right there to add to the realism. But I don't mind it in games like that, but where I say stop is when it comes to, like, fantasy worlds.
Right. I mean, to me, you know, you're force-fed so much advertising on a daily basis anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you don't really notice it anymore.
No, you get...
It's more subliminal than anything
else.
You
get numb to it at
right.
some point.
So, I mean, I have never played a game with advertising in it that where the advertising really pulled me out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's... So, to me, it's not really as big an issue. I know some people get all up in arms about it because they're like, you know, well, you know, they're getting paid to advertise, and I'm paying for this game. Why should I have to, you know, see commercials and advertisements when I paid for this game? Well, you know what? The game that you paid $60 for cost a lot more than $60 to make.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, any money that they can make back on advertising is good for the video game industry.
Yeah, especially these days when games are starting to... They haven't reached it yet, but they're starting to go into motion picture
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Budgets.
So, I mean, and to me, you know, the app, like you said, as long as it's within the context of the world that the game exists in,
yeah.
you don't even notice it. I mean, like I said, it's never once pulled me out of the game. Now, that there's a different story if you're playing a game like Darkened Sky, which for the GameCube, which if you haven't ever seen or heard of it, you're lucky, but it was an entire game about Skittles.
Skittles!
And how Skittles were magical, and you had to collect Skittles.
What about Yonoid?
Oh, yeah!
And Yonoid. Dude, on the NES, everybody had a video game. Cool Spot had a video game. Chester Cheetah had a video game.
What's bad about Cool Spot is he got a sequel. Spot Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah, you did.
I played that game.
It's awful.
Not the sequel. I played the original Spot. Now, if the listeners are wondering what we're talking about, it's the Spot for 7-Up.
Right.
Yeah, that's not even around
anymore. Yeah, if you're a little young for that, the 7-Up Spot used to be a character with sunglasses and white gloves. And,
yeah. He was like a California Raisin.
Yeah, it was supposed to be...
That's another blast from the past.
Cool Spot was his name, and he was supposed to be a really cool... Big giant red spot. Basically, if that
makes
sense. As
cool as you can be.
Hey, we thought it was cool in the 80s.
Yeah, we did.
But Yonoid, same way. Most people probably have no idea who the Noid is.
Domino's.
Yeah, he was the Domino's character that stole freshness from your pizza.
Man, you remember this quite vividly, don't you?
I do remember that.
He studies it in his off time.
It was a claymation.
Actually, I wrote a book about the Noid.
Really?
You did.
No.
Oh, okay.
But no, anyways, that's a long way of saying that I really the advertising in game doesn't really bother
me. See, advertising in games doesn't bother me either, like with the context of like, and I experienced it recently. They now have viral kind of like, I was playing Rainbow Six just recently, and there was an ad for the 300 DVD.
Right.
Which obviously wasn't in the game when I bought it initially, so they have actually upgraded the advertisements in the game just because you're connected to Xbox Live.
Right, and from what I understand, Crackdown's the same way. They have shoot 'em up posters now, right now in Crackdown, from what I understand.
Which is,
really?
I think is really kind of cool, almost, because
it
keeps it makes the game feel current.
Right.
If it starts getting to a point where like every loading screen I'm watching a commercial,
right,
then I'm going to have an issue.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's another line that cannot... be crossed.
No, as far as like if you go too far, like when I go to the movies now, I know I have 25 minutes before the movie starts because I've got to sit through 10 minutes of commercials, not previews, commercials.
Yeah, that's terrible. I hate that.
I mean, and if it gets to that point where like while a game's loading, I have to watch a TV commercial.
Oh man,
then we have a problem. But as far as things like the 300 posters in Rainbow Six, it makes it feel current to me.
Right.
And things like achievements are now being sponsored by. Companies, like in All-Pro Football, there's a Stride Gum achievement. In college football, there's an Old Spice Red Zone achievement.
Right.
That doesn't bother me. Mountain Dew achievements, those don't bother me. Things doesn't bother me. But when it gets to the point where it interrupts my game, yes, that would bother me.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the... I mean, it's the difference between going to a movie and the character is drinking Pepsi, or there's a Taco Bell in the background... to going to a movie and having the movie stop like a half hour in and show you a commercial.
Exactly.
And then start the movie again.
Oh, man, so, that would be so terrible.
Yeah. Unless you're watching Grindhouse, and then those commercials in between were hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't see Grindhouse.
Oh, Grindhouse was awesome.
It was a great movie. But, yeah, as far as it is right now, it doesn't bother me. Even the stuff on Xbox Live doesn't bother me. Like the advertisements on the dashboard, those don't bother me.
It doesn't really bother me, per se, but... to me, if they start getting more and more advertisements on Xbox Live, then I'm really going to look for them to lower
the
price.
If they ever put a pop-up on Xbox Live, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
So that pretty much wraps up the advertising one. And the last question is going to be fun as it always is. Because it seems like a week can't go by without discussing the situation. This comes from Sylvanos. He's a new user. He wants to know. He says, everyone I know who owns a Wii only plays it while they have people over. And the two most played games? Wii Sports and Wii Play. With it selling so well and these first-party games selling so well, do you think it's good for the business? I'm not sure. Dang it, moms and older folks, are going to leap to the PS3 or the 360. He says, I guess what I'm asking is, do you think Nintendo making these cheap little party games is good for the business? Basically, he's asking, is it going to cause developers to stop making hardcore games so they can make a profit from the little party games?
I don't know. It could go either way. I think that because the success of the Nintendo Wii, that there's a lot of systems out there, and I think a lot of companies such as Vanillaware are going to take advantage of the number of systems out there. And Vanillaware is pretty much a hardcore. I mean, so far the games that they've released in the United States are pretty hardcore genres. So if they do that and the trend continues with other companies, maybe not the super uber big companies, I believe that we could have some hardcore games on the Wii. But then again, you know, the party games are really what people play on the Wii. So it could go either way.
Well, the big question there is there enough hardcore Wii owners to merit a hardcore game on that system? I mean, that's really the question, and I guess it's going to come from, you know, you taking a franchise that's huge, like, let's say, for instance, Grand Theft Auto went strictly to the Wii. Would it sell like it does on a Wii as it would on a PlayStation 3 or a 360?
No, because it's not the right market. But we could have probably, instead of answering this question, we probably just could have referred him to every podcast from the last year.
Yeah.
But we've discussed it before. The problem is, you got the Wii is primarily a casual gaming system, and the people that buy it are primarily casual gamers, and it's sold like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, EA has already announced that they have specific teams working on games for the Wii. It's good for the industry. It's really good for the industry.
Yeah, because it just means more money for hardcore games.
Right. It's not good for hardcore gamers.
No, it's not, because our games are going to become fewer and far between.
Right. Because people are going to see the success of the Wii, and they're going to say, wow, well, why are we wasting time on these hardcore gamers that, you know, have supported us for 20 years when these casual guys are the ones buying the games now? So, hell with it. Let's make games
really,
for them instead.
Really, though, I feel like that the Wii's success is going to level out, and I think it's going to end up whereas these first-party games from Nintendo are going to continue to do well. Games like Wii Play and, you know, and all the Wii stuff, those are going to do well, but I think these third-party developers who are making stuff like, you know, Duck Shoot and Carnival Games and even Boogie, I mean, I don't think these are going to...
Boogie flopped.
I mean, I don't think they're going to make a huge dent. I think publishers are going to realize, hey, the only ones that are selling games are Nintendo. So maybe we shouldn't focus so much more. I think at first it's going to seem bad, and then eventually it's going to level itself back out, and we're going to have, you're going to have EA Casual, but then you're also going to have EA making Army of Two and Maddens and things like that.
Right.
So I think it's going to level out. For a while it's going to look really bad, but I think eventually it's going to go back to a normal level.
Yeah, I think that in the long run, I think that the hardcore gaming market and the casual gaming market will almost be equal in a few years from now. It'll be equal, and there'll be a gray area in between where both hardcore and casual gamers will agree on certain titles or, you know, the end thing. And I just think, I agree with you. I think it'll be it's going to level out here in the next couple of years.
And that's perfectly fine with me, because there's one thing that these big developers know is that even when this casual bullshit pans out, we're still going to be here to buy the games.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you got your party games and stuff like that, and it'll be spiked in sales. But then you got games like Halo, which is like, it's almost like the equivalent of like Star Wars, where people are going to be camping out. There's going to be long lines coming out of a store, you know. There's going to be that humongous event game that gets everybody excited about the whole industry. And I feel that there'll always be those type of games. But I also think that you'll have a lot of casual gamers coming into the stores as well. And I believe that some of the casual gamers might actually jump into hardcore territory once they become comfortable with the medium.
I don't agree with that. I don't think the moms out there playing Boogie and Wii Sports are going to start playing Halo all of a sudden.
Well, maybe not the moms, but I think maybe like the 30-somes. Like maybe, you know, the 30-somes who maybe played the Atari and the Nintendo, and during the whole 16-bit, 32-bit, 64-bit era, were kind of lost in gaming. I think the Wii might actually drag them back in to the fold.
But see, to me, if they just have a Wii, there's no games on the Wii that are going to drag them back into the fold, really.
No,
because if they've been out of it so long, the chances are if they're buying a Wii, they're buying it for Wii Sports. They're not buying it for Zelda. They're not buying it for some of the games that might lean towards the hardcore crowd. Now, if that changes, obviously that's a good thing. If we start seeing some more games that are more on the hardcore level on the Wii, then you might see a change like that. But at first, I don't think you're going
to
see that.
And even if you do have a hardcore game on the Wii, you have to be able to market it and sell it to these people who are playing Wii Bowling.
Right. Well, which is where Zelda sort of has an in, because if the guys played, you know, Atari and NES, you know, they're going to remember older franchises. So, I mean, if you're going to, in a way, this whole thing is good for Nintendo and it's bad for Nintendo. It's good for Nintendo because if they're trying to create, some hardcore gamers, they're going to get a lot of help from their own franchise. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the reason that people are buying the Wii, and nobody really mentions this, but a lot of the reasons that casual gamers are buying the Wii is because it's from Nintendo, and a lot of them remember, oh yeah, Nintendo, they made, you know, Mario and all, yeah, so they connect the brand with that, so that's going to help them. But like we've talked about before, to me the Wii is like Tickle Me Elmo. It's the it thing right now.
Oh yeah.
And it's what everybody wants because they're not really in high supply. It's the it gift. You know what I mean? It's the it thing to have is a Wii. But that's going to pass. And Nintendo has not done a good job over this generation of catering to its hardcore audience that kept it afloat through the last two generations. Because if it wasn't for the hardcore gamers, Nintendo would have flopped during the 64-bit era. There would have been no GameCube. There would have been no Wii. Because the hardcore gamers are what kept Nintendo afloat when 64 sales were sagging. So it's going to be a double-edged sword for Nintendo. If they can keep the casual gamers around, they're going to make a lot of money. But if the casual gamers leave, they've alienated a lot of their hardcore audience.
See, I don't know that I agree with that fully, because we're still getting about the same supply of Nintendo games at about the same rate that we got them on the GameCube. Kind of like Metroid is showing up a little close to a year after the system launched.
I don't mean game support-wise, though.
You just mean...
I just mean as far as
commercially.
Their tactics commercially, their approach towards the system.
It's basically that they don't care about their other
exactly,
franchises.
Exactly. They're kind of like, yeah, we're going to throw you a bone with these, but if you notice, I mean, the bulk of their E3 presentation was on friggin' Wii Fitness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff, even though it may not seem like as big an issue at the time, that kind of stuff pushes hardcore gamers away. Because look how many hardcore guys bitched about the Wii Fitness thing.
Well, yeah, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... I swear to God, if any hardcore gamer goes out and buys that thing, I will fly to your house and I will punch you in the chest.
We're revoking your hardcore
gamer. I mean, you're not a hardcore gamer anymore, because that thing is a weight balancer And that's it.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't do anything else. Right. It's just a gimmick.
Right.
I mean, it's almost as dumb as the zapper attachment, which is so funny because everybody's giving it credit about how innovative it is. It's a piece of plastic that holds both controllers.
That's it.
That's all it is. There's nothing special about it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pack a game in with it and sell it in droves because it's going to be like $20.
Right, but you know what? And we talked about this before, too. Nintendo really has... the most out of the three consoles, even though their fanboys aren't quite as rabid anymore because of what I've talked about, they have the most diehard fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nintendo fans will buy anything that Nintendo releases.
Yeah.
Nintendo has exploited that for years. Nintendo's exploited that basically since the 64 with different colors, different colored controllers, different colored Game Boys.
Smaller systems.
Yeah, smaller systems.
Preach it.
Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Light.
Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Advance SP, Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Micro.
You know, exactly. The Zapper thing now for the Wii. They basically, and I've said this before, Nintendo has made a living... basically, during the 64-bit era and the GameCube era, on selling gimmicky stuff like different color controllers, different color systems. And I honestly think that part of their thought process when they created the Wii was like, look, we can base an entire system around this. Because, you know, the Wii, it's basically one big gimmick. It's got some good games, the controller works well, but essentially it boils down to the motion control gimmick. And that they basically based an entire system around the concept of gimmicky peripherals. And it's boggling from a marketing standpoint. It's amazing.
But it's working.
Yeah, but it's completely and utterly exploitative to me. And, you know, that's business. But really, it's, I don't know. I used to be, and I still am to an extent, a huge supporter of Nintendo. But their actions in this generation and the last generation have just sort of pushed me... to the fringes as far as the way I used to be.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I still want to play so many other games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's hard for me to sit here and criticize them as much as I do, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, I want to play Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
God, I want to play Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. God, you know, I can't wait for the next Zelda.
Right, that's what
they
do to
you. But at the same time, and I sit here and I stare at them as they stand on stage and talk about how many alpha moms are playing Wii Sports.
Right.
And I'm like... You know, if this would have happened when I was a kid, I would have lost my mind.
Right.
With my mother coming into the room and saying, hey, let's play this. And I'm like, no, I'm playing Zelda. No, I want to play Wii Bowling.
Right.
No.
No.
She'd be like, no, Ken. I want to play Wii Fit so I can see how much I weigh.
You know what? We're as guilty of this as anybody, but... I really do think that a lot of the venom towards Nintendo right now, and this is going to sound like people, when I first say this, people are going to be like, no, we're not like that, but it's the God's honest truth. Gamers, I think for the longest time, gamers have been fighting for so many years to try and get gaming to be looked at as legitimate.
Yes.
But none of us really wanted it the whole time.
No, we didn't.
Because, you know, it's kind of like this exclusive geek club.
Exactly.
When, like, the moms and the casual guys and the preppy guys and everybody starts coming into it, it's kind of like, whoa, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we've been saying for so long that we wanted gaming to be looked at as this legitimate art form and as this, you know, this legitimate form of entertainment, and that we wanted it to be widespread to the mass market, but we didn't really want that. We wanted more people playing games, but we don't want them in our club.
We wanted the Sony version of mainstream, where you had games like Madden, Grand Theft Auto, and, you know, and stuff like that, where everybody was like, had heard of it.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's cool, I want to play that. You didn't want these people coming in going, ooh, do you have that Wii Fit?
Right.
You know, you didn't want that.
Right.
It's like what we wanted was we wanted everybody... you know, to recognize it as a legitimate art form, but we also wanted everybody, like, you
to
know,
still be curious about it and not
to
experience
still be
it
geeky
firsthand.
About it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to be honest,
yeah, I think we honestly wanted like people who weren't into games, like all of a sudden take up an interest in like Street Fighter,
right?
It'd be like, oh, I'm gonna study all these moves of Akuma, you know,
right?
And start geeking out like us. But thing is, And the thing is, that's how video games is. The whole video game industry was a geek industry, but right. Now it's not as much as a geeky industry, mm-hmm. and it's being watered down with, like mainstream media and stuff like that, and it's being actually dumbed down at the same time.
Well, to answer his initial question of whether or not it's going to hurt the industry, I don't think that it's going to hurt the industry overall.
Oh, no.
What it is going to hurt is these great sleeper hit titles that nobody plays.
Right. Exactly.
We're going to lose a lot of those. We're going to lose a lot of Beyond Good and Evils. We're going to lose a lot of Psychonauts. We're going to lose a lot of Bioshocks.
Right, because companies realize that they can make more money making games like Wii Fit.
We're still going to get the Halos. We're still going to get the Grand Theft Autos. We're still going to get the hardcore Splinter Cells, the Ghost Recons. We're going to get those, but games that nobody knows about, new IPs are going to become few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
Wii games are going to... they're going to sprout. I mean, you're going to see them from everybody. You're going to see Wii games from... I wouldn't be surprised to see Microsoft start making Wii games. I mean, it's as ridiculous as that sounds. I mean, it's a huge... it's like anybody can look at it and they're like, oh, the Wii's got 10 million units in the market in the first year. If I make a game for, a couple thousand dollars, $10,000, $1 million, I can make that back like that.
Right.
And it's ridiculous because every company can do that. And companies that spend, millions of dollars on Beyond Good and Evil and end up selling, 100,000 copies over the span of its 10-year life, where you can sell that in a week on the Wii.
Well, and, some people argue the flip side of that these developers can make casual games and make a lot of money on them, which gives them more money to make games like Beyond Good and Evil. Doesn't work that way.
Not always.
I mean, you hope that it would work that way, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it works, they make a casual game, they make a lot of money, and then they say, let's make another casual game and make a lot more money.
Yeah, it's not like with EA where like they'll make their millions off of Madden, and then they'll go off and make an Army of Two.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be always the example I go back to, but it's true. With EA, they can afford to take chances on games like that. But if they're going to make a shitload of money off of a Boogie, there's going to be a Boogie 2 next year. There's not going to be an Army of 2-2.
Right.
What if they made a sequel to that? It'd be Army of 2-2?
Army of 4?
That'd be sweet.
Army of
2. They'd have
squared.
To give it a subtitle, like every other friggin' game on the planet.
Yeah, it'd be like Army of 2 Back Again or something.
Army of 2, Army of 3.
Army of 2, Tampon of Death.
Thing is, here's an interesting thought. Movies, the more they became mainstream, the more they... there was another market that came out of the mainstream media, and that's independent movies. The thing is, we're actually seeing that right now with like XNL.
Yeah.
What's
like,
XNL?
XNA, I think.
XNA.
Oh, XNA. Okay, I was like, what's XNL? Is it like a football league?
Yeah. Like we're developers, small developers of like a couple people can make games. And the thing is, I think perhaps like the next generation, I think that's going to explode. I think that's going to... It's going to be like the independent movies, it's going to have its own market, and I think a lot of hardcores and casuals are going to embrace the independent gaming community. And I think that'll be a really strong community in the next generation and in this generation, thanks to, hard drive space and stuff like that, where company like Microsoft could, say, okay, we're going to give you guys an opportunity and release a game like Aegis Wing, and it'll be really popular, and I hope that trend will escalate, and we will still have a lot of hardcore games.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
I think
a new hope.
We'll always have the Halos and the Bioshocks, I think. And then, we'll have a bunch of casual games as well, the party games like the Wii, and then we'll have the middle ground. And the middle ground will be the independent gaming community.
That's an interesting take on it.
Boom. Very well said.
We're going to wrap up the questions, and we have one more segment to go through, and we're bringing back Preview the Review, which hasn't been here for a couple weeks.
Oh, we got another segment? Dang.
Yeah.
Long one.
Do you need to drop out before we do this last segment?
I should be good.
Okay. We have four new games that I pulled out this week. The first one we talked a little bit about earlier today, which is Folklore.
Folklore?
Folklore to Preview the Review. I'll start with you, since I've been starting with him all day.
I don't know. I haven't played a whole lot of it. I played a little bit of it here.
Yeah.
To me, it's probably going to be in the 7.5 range. It doesn't, you know, what I played of it, what I saw of it, doesn't seem like it's going to be a really high scoring game. I'm sure it'll be a game that a lot of people like, but I don't think you'll see, as far as like Metacritic or game rankings, I don't think it'll score higher than a 75 or maybe an 80%.
So you're staying around 75?
I'm thinking around 75.
What about you?
I'm thinking right around 8.
8?
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I really like the art style of the game, and I like the idea that, you know, you try to obtain the soul by the motion sensor, by motion sensoring your...
That's funny, as your optimism really showed when I was tallying up some of the older stuff, and I think most of us missed just about every one. I think you were in 1% of one of them.
Really?
I mean, you almost nailed it down to the percentage.
Nice.
We missed real bad on Transformers. We missed real bad on All Pro Football. Most of us got pretty close to Vampire Reign. Madden, we were all lower on than what it got, which was surprising. Your optimism shone through, though. You scored a lot of stuff higher than it ended up getting.
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty much like the Dave Halverson of the group.
Yeah. But you're not giving 10s.
Yeah, I'm not giving 10s to everything.
Dave Halverson, I don't even know if he reviews stuff. I think he just wakes up sweating in the middle of the night and yells 10 and writes it down on a piece of paper.
No, here's what it is.
Worst reviewer ever. Sorry, Dave. You don't listen to this. I don't know why I'm apologizing to you, but...
Maybe he does, and he's like going to send an email now.
Yeah, maybe he does. Stop giving shit 10s.
Yeah, with Play Magazine, it's like, if the graphics are beautiful... and it's got a female lead character, it's going to get at least a 9.
If it started in Japan, it's probably going to get at least a 9.
That's
Hold
true.
That too, yeah.
You did give Sonic a 9, which we can't stop giving him crap about.
Dude, I can't even fathom that. That game is so broken.
That's enough of Dave Halverson. Let's just move.
All right, I think for me, Folklore, I'm sticking in. I'm going to split you guys down the middle. I'm just going for 77.
77.
77. So we got 75, 77, and an 80.
Nice, safe answer.
I like the game. I think it's really good. I think it's going to do well. I don't think that it's going to garner 8s or 9s anywhere, except for maybe Play. But
we'll give it a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
No, it'll be a 9.9.
No, it's got a female lead and it's Japanese. It's a 10.
It's a 10. Yeah.
Anyway, next game up on the list is Skate.
Skeet.
Throw this in real quick because the reviews are already starting to show up on the internet. But what do you think?
Well, I think 6.5.
Wow.
Where's your optimism now?
it went down the toilet.
I guess so. Why do you think it's going to get a 6?
Because a skating simulator just doesn't sound very cool. I mean, it might be cool in some places. But here's the thing. You got flight simulators. Because not everybody can afford a freaking F-18 fighter jet.
I don't know anybody that can afford it.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got racing simulators because not everybody can afford a Ferrari.
Right. I know where he's going with this.
Or a Porsche.
I do know where he's going with this.
Yeah, it's so obvious. It's like if you want to play a freaking skating simulator, then go out there and buy yourself a freaking skateboard and like...
Which is actually cheaper than Skate the game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Unless you buy one of those real fancy ones.
Right. Yeah, unless you buy one of those really cool ones with the anime characters on. But
wow.
Yeah.
An anime character skateboard? That's just...
Dude, they have them.
Wow, that's scary.
They have them.
There's a whole company
that specializes in that.
Just goes about anime skateboards.
I can just picture the people that would be skating on an anime skateboard.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be skating. They'd be laying on their stomach like they're surfing.
But yeah, if you want a skating simulator, just... go out there and buy yourself a skateboard.
Did you play the demo?
About 2 seconds.
Oh, wow. Talking about a negative Nancy about this game.
No, it was longer than 2 seconds. It was probably about a minute.
Not your thing?
No. Tony Hawk's really sweet because you can get into Tony Hawk because, you know, it's over the top. It's over the top game. It's not a simulator, and that's what makes it fun. But once you start having a simulator of something that you can just go out there and do, like, right now, I mean, you might as well have a typing simulator.
Mavis Beacon is in the house.
Yeah, so.
All right, so what do you think?
I think it's going to get, I think it's probably going to get an 8, to be honest. Because if you think about it, the Tony Hawk games always got really high scores.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, people have been saying that, you know, Tony Hawk, same old, same old. Skate is a lot different than Tony Hawk ever was.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to get, I honestly think that it's going to get points for the fact that it's a skate simulator, as stupid as it is. I think it's probably going to get points for the fact that it's not arcade-y. So that's my take on it.
I'm going 82. I'm going 82 because I think the people that review it are actually going to get really deep into it, realize how rewarding it is to actually learn and how much more rewarding it is to pull a trick off that takes skill to do as opposed to just doing it. I think casually it's not going to be accepted.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be strictly hardcore as far as sales go, but I think review-wise, I'm saying 82. I think it's going to do really well. I think it's going to beat Tony Hawk in the scores. So we got a 65, an 80, and an 82. Wow. Next up, Juice 2, Electric Boogaloo, or Hot Import Nights, whichever one you want to use. Juice 2? Racing game?
I really have no idea.
Racing game?
I haven't really kept up with this title.
There's a demo of it on Marketplace.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should probably play it.
Yeah, you might want to, because it plays like ass in a box.
Okay, so, well, so that...
it's absolutely terrible.
In a box? Okay, I'm just going to throw it out. 6.
6? He just threw that out there.
He just threw it
out. He didn't have a reason because he hasn't played it.
Right. I'm gonna say around 5.5 maybe.
I'm going 5. Yeah. I'm going 55.
It's bad.
So yeah, I'm going 55 on this, and that comes from playing it. And what's funny is I thought the first one was good.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was pretty good.
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't great.
No,
but it was decent.
It was a good solid 6.57.
Right. It was a solid companion to Need for Speed.
Yeah. This one 55. I can't drive 55. And the last one on the list, Sega Rally Revo. The new Sega Rally.
Good history there.
There's a lot of good history there, but with Dirt just coming out, what do you think?
I'm thinking somewhere between 7 and 7.5, about 7.3. Because even though it's going to be probably a really good game, it's going to be, people are going to compare it to Dirt. People are going to compare it to MotorStorm, even.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be like, oh, this game compared to so-and-so game is nothing compared to that.
Right.
So,
especially graphically, that's what everybody's going to get hung
on. Yeah, because it doesn't look good as either one of those.
It's going to get 7s. It'll probably get lower than 7, but I'm optimistic with my 7.5. That's my optimistic score. Just because people are going to be comparing it to other games and not really seeing the game for what it is.
Right.
And that's the next incarnation of the Sega Rally series. You know, traditional type of game. And the thing is, it's one of those things that will separate the line between hardcore and casual.
Separate the men from the boys.
Yeah.
So we got a 73 from you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 70.
70.
But I think that it's going to be one of those games, kind of like Folklore, where it's going to get 6s from some people, it's going to get 8s from some people.
The Sega fans.
Right.
The
but fans. Metacritic-wise and game rankings-wise, I think it's going to fall right around 70% range.
I'm about the same way. I think I'm between a 6.5 and a 7, so I'd probably say around a 6.8.
Yeah, mine was optimistic.
68, 73, and a 70.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much our guesses. Eventually we will have a ability to download all these. I'm actually working on a giant spreadsheet that shows how close we were and how far off we were. So look forward to that in the future. That pretty much wraps up.
And if you guys have ideas, you can start a preview the review thread on the forums if you
definitely want. Definitely start a preview the review thread because I'm running out of games. I mean, when I got to pull Juice 2 out, we have problems that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But also, the rules for the Halo Challenge should be up. So make sure you go check those out. And we'll be looking forward to Pionin' the Noobs.
Pionin' the Noobs.
September, when it comes around.
It's your chance to game with the podcast crew and the moderator crew on the forums.
Yeah, it's your chance to teabag us all.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
It's your chance to teabag zero tolerance and Risk the Banhammer.
The Banhammer is coming.
Oh, we're kidding, of course.
That pretty much wraps up this long show. So
yes, it was.
It was very long. Yes. It's a good one though.
Keep posting the questions because that's becoming a favorite around here for us.
And keep posting comments on the actual main N4G site, calling us fanboys.
Yes, because we all are.
We all.
Yes,
are.
We're fanboys.
So bad.
But we're gonna get out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
You're wrong about virtues of Christianity, and you're wrong if you agree with Sean Hannity. If you think that pride is about nationality, you're wrong. You're wrong when you imprison people turning tricks, and you're wrong about trickle-down economics. If you think that punk rock doesn't mix with politics, you're wrong. You're wrong for hating queers and eating steers if you kill for the thrill of the hunt. You're wrong about wearing fur and not hating Ann Coulter, cause she's a cunted cunt. Or you're wrong if you celebrate Columbus Day, and you're wrong if you think there'll be a Judgment Day. If you're a charter member of the NRA, you're wrong. You're wrong if you support capital punishment, and you're wrong if you don't question your government. If you think her reproductive rights are inconsequent, you're wrong. You're wrong fighting jihad. Your blind faith in God, your religions are all flawed. You're wrong about drug use when it's not abuse. I hope you never reproduce. You're getting high on the down low, a victim of the COINTELPRO. You're wrong, and we'll probably never know.
All right, where am I at? Where am I at?
You're down there.
I'm pretty normal.
You're down there.
All right, let me talk at the normal volume that I'll probably be talking on the podcast. This is probably about right.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. About even.
About even. Nice.
Yes.
That was solid.
That was
that's a product of Mother Nature being a bad mother.
Yeah, the new Full Throttle. Buy it. That's our product placement.
Oh my God, did they give you money?
No.
I was going to say, because you best share it.
Yeah, the friggin' raspberry fruit drink. Their sponsorship dollars ran out. Sons of bitches.
The raspberry.
And the fudge stripe cookies.
And fudge stripe cookies. That was a long time ago.
It pissed me off.
Those are good.
Hey, you realize that's almost the 1 year anniversary of that coming up?
Of the fudge stripes?
It was in December.
It was.
Yeah, our podcast is also over a year old now.
Yeah, it is, man. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. We're only on episode 33.
And we still suck.
Yeah, I know.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We've been doing this thing for a year, and we still don't know what the fuck we're doing.
We're still smoking pot.
That's hilarious.
Smoking that pot!
My God, man.
Wow. That was loud.